Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger. Hey everyone, welcome to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. This is episode 10. Thank you for downloading on iTunes or listening on JitteryMonkey.com. And episode 10, kind of a special episode. This is the very first time I've had an in-studio guest, Chad, my blogging buddy over at My1-2-3-Cents.com, making the trip in from parts unknown to do this face-to-face, person-to-person question and answer session. Chad, welcome aboard.
It's good to be back in the Midwest where, you know, the temperature is much colder than parts unknown. And it's good to get back into the studio face-to-face. It's been a while since, you know, we've done something like this in a studio.
Yes, and by studio, we're talking about the room over my garage that Chad may one day move into. But, you know, we'll discuss that down the road. It is Super Bowl Sunday, the afternoon. You'll be listening to this, of course, after the Super Bowl, so we really don't have any Super Bowl wrap for you. But we are going to be answering some fan questions from facebook.com/my123cents or at my123cents on Twitter. Also, I'm going to plug my Twitter because, and I'll explain when I get to one of the questions later on, it's at Kevin Huntsberger, and you can Google that or go to my123cents.com and find out the exact spelling and whatnot. But I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But Chad and I are going to take a few questions, but we're also going to talk about some opinions of what's been going on in wrestling and leading up to WrestleMania. Chad, speaking of WrestleMania, we'll start with Martin. And Martin Endersby, or I think that's how you say his name, and I apologize, Martin, a friend of ours that we met several years ago. I don't even remember which WrestleMania it was.
27, I believe.
Was that Atlanta?
I believe in Atlanta. It was the first time I met him, yeah.
I think you might be right about that. He always dressed like the model Rick Martel. That year we were dressed like Bobby Heenan, the Brooklyn Brawler, and you were the Red Rooster. We went with our friend Travis. But Martin is one of those guys that we've run into every year since then, and that was 2011. He asks about us not going to WrestleMania this year. Is that going to be surreal not to be there? And quick backstory on that. I have decided for financial reasons, family reasons, I've had to put braces in my one son's mouth, a new dryer, a new doors here at our house, a new dishwasher, just a staggering stack of things that expenses that have come up, unexpected expenses that have come up. So I've decided to sit this year out. But you never know, you know, the WrestleMania fairy may come and bring me out to San Francisco.
It's Santa Clara, I believe, which is about an hour outside of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But it's the home of the San Francisco 49ers.
So, yeah. Is it going to be surreal? Yes, because we have gone to every WrestleMania since, consecutively since WrestleMania 24. I'm sorry, WrestleMania.
No, 24.
Yeah, 24.
We went to 22. First one we went to was 22. Skip 23, and then we've been to everyone since 24.
Yeah, so that's 2008. So that's been a lot of WrestleManias, a lot of good times. But you know what? If I never go back, and I'm not saying I'm never going to go back, but if I don't,
going back to 32. We got to go back.
I do want to go to Texas.
Jerry built.
Yeah,
if they could put 100,000 people into that stadium,
that will be amazing. But you know, having gone to WrestleMania 30, I thought was awesome being there in person. There were so many things that happened, but we'll be back eventually, and it may still even be this year.
Yeah, I mean, when we started doing the Mania trips, it was my focus, my plan from the beginning was to end it at 30, hoping that 30 would be in Madison Square Garden, where 1, 10, and 20 happen. I didn't realize until watching the history of WrestleMania DVD, I believe, that they did WrestleMania 20 in New York, 21 in Los Angeles, 23 in Chicago, or 22 in Chicago, which were the number 1, 2, and 3 markets. And then since then, every WrestleMania has been in a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So Madison Square Garden, too small to host WrestleMania now. But I figured 30 would be the good stop point. You do like almost a decade of WrestleMania. And now it's kind of sad because, you know, I think this is the closest WrestleMania to me, maybe with the exception of 26, which was in Phoenix. So to be that close and to not go after traveling all the way across the country the last couple years.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, at the same time, it is going to be weird watching it if we end up not going as we're planning on not doing. to set this will be the first time sitting and watching a WrestleMania live with commentary in almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be different.
And you go back and watch them. I have not watched any of them back since
I've watched them,
seeing
but
them
it's
live.
Not, I don't watch them for a few years. Like, I still haven't watched 30. I haven't watched 29.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if I've even seen 28. But it's going to be... That will be weird. It will be... But I also think the last... I mean, honestly speaking, the WrestleMania weekend, the WrestleMania trips are fun and exciting, but WrestleMania is the least interesting part.
It's not about the WrestleMania.
Of those last few years. It's about seeing friends like Martin, our friends from Australia, the Hall of Fame ceremony, the last 2 years, the Raw after WrestleMania has become the bigger deal. WrestleMania is just kind of there.
Right.
And given the way things are going as of now for this WrestleMania, I don't think I'd feel too bad about missing it.
Missing the event. But there is, and I think you would agree with me, there is something about walking into that stadium.
Yeah.
And the buzz that you feel from all the fans, and you see that set, and it's usually, you know, the last few years especially, they've outdone themselves with the setup and whatnot, and you just kind of walk in, and you instantly feel that energy that, you know, you don't feel at a Raw or a SmackDown or just a regular house show.
True, and then you factor in that this year is another outdoor arena, so they're going to, unless they've found some new innovative way, they're going to have that structure around the ring for the lighting rig that is going to block viewpoints from certain seats. And, you know, not having to deal with that will be nice.
Yeah, and like I said, we never say never. We may be back this year. Chad may be back this year. But I am looking forward and hoping to get to 32, which is kind of transitioning me into this next question. It's actually coming to us from Greg Mahochko, who is our main man at jitterymonkey.com and kind of approached us about doing a podcast in the first place.
And I have to give a shout out. You and Greg did a joint podcast a couple weeks ago, and I just want to thank Greg for name dropping me like every 5 minutes. It's awesome.
Greg asks, how long until My 123 Cents has their own t-shirts available on the Wrestling Tees, the ProWrestlingTees.com site? And I actually had looked into this because... Not that I think that people want to wear My 123 Cents merchandise, but we do have this catchy new logo with the monkey, with the lucha mask on, and I am apologizing now. I cannot remember the guy who designed that for me, but he is in Springfield, Illinois. And Greg, once you're listening to this, he will let me know because he did all the artwork for Jittery Monkey. But anyway, I have talked to a local shop here about making t-shirts at some point, and getting them onto the Wrestling Tees site. But the thing is, you have to have, if you're an individual person or a podcast, you have to have 3,500 followers on Twitter. Right now, I myself, and that's why I'm pushing my own Twitter here, because I figure we're the my name is the closest one to getting to that 3,500. I'm at just over 1,500, so I've still got 2,000 to go, but we can do this, folks. It's at Kevin Huntsberger on Twitter, and I'm not expecting this to happen anytime soon, but I would like to see the merchandise get out there, and maybe people might be interested in it, or at the very least, we give it away like we did the last batch of t-shirts.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did a batch of t-shirts a few years ago, and I think we still have about 50 laying around somewhere.
No, actually, he's exaggerating. Chuck Taylor, sexy Chuck Taylor, has one.
Yeah, I mean, we gave them away to a lot of Chikara wrestlers as a kind of a... Well, in all honesty, it was a way to hopefully they would wear them and people would ask them about the show. It's just free market. You know, they say you got to spend money to make money. We're still on the you have to spend money part. Hopefully we'll get to the making money later, but... Yeah, we did shirts a few years ago, and they weren't a rousing success, let's say, in the financial department. But it was in like the first year of My 123 Cents, so we've gotten more followers since then. Who knows? It would be nice if we could get a source of income to come in on this.
And then that helps us go to WrestleMania as well. Yeah. Also, Tom Quate asks, given all the outcry about Daniel Bryan not winning the Rumble, do you think WWE is suffering from WCW syndrome, and will they be open in 10 years? Chad, what's your take on that?
I'm kind of confused by the WCW syndrome. I don't know if that just means you know, back in the WCW days when you kept Hogan and the Outsiders and all them on top and didn't elevate guys like Benoit, Guerrero, and Jericho, for instance. In that sense, I wouldn't say they're that drastic or that bad right now, because with the exception of John Cena still being on top and being the focal point, I think especially over the last year, you've gotten a lot younger talent coming in and kind of getting as high as WWE will let them get, because nobody wants to grab the brass ring, apparently. So they only get to a certain level. And as far as being around in 10 years, unless Vince McMahon sells the company, unless Triple H and Stephanie sell the company, they'll be around in some fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a good working relationship with USA, with NBC. So I think anytime that contract is up for renegotiation, they're going to get something that will keep them, that will be financially advantageous to them.
I totally agree. And I was thinking about this earlier. You know, WWE to me is the on the same level as, say, the NFL or Major League Baseball, Disney, Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. It's a staple out there. It is a part of Americana, pop culture. And like you said, unless Triple H and Stephanie, or, you know, if Vince, you know, were to decide to sell it, it's going to be around. And in my opinion, it's going to continue to grow and become even stronger, because we're not into the traditional wrestling companies anymore. And I think that that's going to, it's a thing of the past. And I don't think that there will ever be any, there'll never be another Monday Night War. There will never be a time when WWE faces extinction and gets bumped off, or, you know, 86 weeks or whatever it was when WCW was running wild. I think there are going to be a lot of companies, and we're seeing, I think, more companies now trying to make that move to becoming a viable number two. And I would argue that there's still, despite TNA being around for as long as it has, Ring of Honor being around, I don't know that there is a definable, solid number two alternative out there to WWE.
And I'll stop you right there real quick. I don't think there should necessarily, there doesn't necessarily need to be a number two. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing with the exception of a Ring of Honor or even TNA to an extent, but when you factor in companies like Evolve, Dragon Gate, Chikara, PWG, Beyond Wrestling, I think we're seeing a kind of a return to the territorial system.
Yeah.
Where you had, and the only thing that I would like to see from that is less sharing of talent on a monthly basis. I would like to see guys maybe go work one place, but since these places only do shows once or twice a month, unlike the old territory days where they were doing weekly shows, I'm sure they would like to work, you know, every week if they can. But it would be nice to see guys in a promotion for like 6 months and then move on to another promotion, and then that way, so that the promotions do have a sense of their own identity.
It would be nice too to see, if this were to ever happen, to see, you know, right now Ring of Honor, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they're the only nationally syndicated television show right now, wrestling television show, that's on, that I don't have to have cable or any kind of subscription for. I can watch TNA, I'm sorry, I can watch Ring of Honor with a set of rabbit ears if I don't have cable. So I would like to see, you know, TNA or especially Chikara, but I know they run on a whole different kind of schedule and are more of a seasonal promotion. I would love to see some of these other promotions, though, on my basic, you know, even if it's on My 49 or whatever the My channel is in your neighborhood, or, you know, on the Fox affiliate, or what other just stations local, are out local there? Yeah, local independent stations, because, you know, we've seen it in this market here in Southern Illinois. There's been wrestling that has come and gone, and, you know, it's popular enough that I think that there's an audience out there for it. It's just, I'm kind of getting off course here, but there's a lot that goes into producing any kind of television show, but a wrestling show I know is even more challenging for some reason. And there are some things that FCC compliance and whatnot that you know, it makes it even more expensive to put that out there for folks to watch and enjoy. But you know, Chad, you're the resident Chikara guy. You brought me a bunch of Chikara shows. What are you seeing with it now that you've liked or have enjoyed in the last? Because they've kind of not rebooted, but they're back.
Yeah, their season just started last weekend. I haven't seen the season opener show yet. I don't know the results. I try as soon as the Chikara season starts, I go on radio silence on the Chikara message boards, the Chikara Twitter. I don't like to know what happens before I see the show. The season has the potential to be a really good season. It was some closure at the end of season 14, but it also left a lot of questions for season 15 as to what's going on with the flood, Taitor Industries still involved, what's going on with Delirious being banned from Chikara now, but yet using the Eye of Tyr. Probably mispronouncing that, to brainwash Hollow Wicked and Frightmare right before he left. How are they going to break that spell? What's going on with Soldier Ant? And those of you that have not watched Chikara have no idea what I'm talking about, and it probably sounds like the craziest thing ever, but that's the good part about Chikara. It is, the storylines are so interesting. It's not just two guys going out and randomly wrestling. Yes, they have that on shows, but there also is underlying meaning to most things. And I'm just curious to see where this season goes.
Because this is like season 14, but everything... 15, but everything has kind of, from day one, has led us to where we are now, right?
Correct. Yeah, everything. It's like watching a... reading a comic book, which is, you know, Chikara is heavily influenced by, or watching a show like Lost or... Game of Thrones.
Can you get into it now, though? It's season 15, or do you think you have to do some research, or what would you advise someone who's listening to this?
I think if you sat down, as soon as the first show is available on smartmarkvideo.com, if you bought it, there's going to be some, you're obviously not going to know who the guys are, but the wrestling aspect itself, if you just want good wrestling, that's going to be there. Chikara also is really good at commentary, putting over the character, letting you know their, you know, bits of their history.
Wait, they don't talk about the network in 999?
No, they don't talk about the next show coming up. They don't talk about, you know, they focus on the action at hand. They will let you know who the guys in the ring are. They will let you know part of their backstory. They'll let you know why, if there is an important match going on that has storyline implications, they will give you that backstory. And yeah, you're not going to pick up one show and know everything.
Sure.
But I think if people get into it, there's going to be that interest in going back and watch and seeing what led up to this. And Chikara does a weekly podcast. The podcast To Go comes out every Monday on YouTube, where they're usually about 2 months behind, I believe, but they'll get you up to speed on what's going on. They've done, when they did the shutdown angle a few years ago, they put out, I think it was a 3-part series to kind of explain why it happened. And I know in the past they've done, Smart Mark has put out a best of at the end of the year. And so you can kind of catch up that way. But I think anybody that wanted to get into Chikara can easily pick up a show, watch it, and then just, you know, just follow along throughout the season. And as you know, you're saying about, would be nice to see them on TV. The bad thing is, to stay up to date, you kind of have to buy the shows.
Right.
And so then it's like, what type of commitment do you want to buy? But Chikara only does, like, on average, 2 shows a month. You can buy them either on DVD for, I believe it's $15, or download an MP4 for $12. So it's not a huge, especially if you get tired of Channel 999, you know, take that 1 month subscription, especially now that the network is free this month. Take that money and buy a Chikara show. And
absolutely, I know that you have been probably more, I don't want to say critical, but you've been more, you've expressed your opinion a lot more about Impact Wrestling since their reboot in January. I've seen just very small fragments of the show. I am glad to see that Awesome Kong is back. I would have rather her seen stayed in WWE, of course, as Karma, but that has been one positive. I read earlier this week that the Von Erich brothers, Marshall and Ross Von Erich, are going to be in TNA for at least for the month of February through their tapings. What are you seeing? Anything you like with it now? Are you finished with it? Because at one point you were on the fence.
Yeah, I was going to give them 3 weeks, and if they were still TNA, then I was going to pretend they didn't exist for another 6 months. I haven't watched all of last Friday's episode yet, unfortunately, due to traveling and due to not having Destination America, even when I'm home. I do have to seek out Impact through means that they probably don't encourage. When I started watching last Friday's episode with my nephew last night, we got about halfway through the show and the feed just froze. So I've only seen half of the episode. There's still stuff. I mean, they're not perfect, especially this. I think because Friday's episode, I think they have one more episode that they taped in New York, but this episode was very heavy on promos.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were sitting watching the beginning, and after about 10 minutes, my nephew was like, okay, enough of the talking. I want to see wrestling. But I guess if you're taping 4 or 5 shows in the span of 3 days, you're going to get to those episodes where you're going to have to fill the time with something other than wrestling.
Yeah.
To give the guys some sort of break. I like the direction that TNA is currently heading in. They're not perfect by any stretch. They do still have room for improvement. One of my big things last night was, or watching this last episode, is they keep the crowd dimly lit, where it's kind of black on the outside, which is fine. I have no problem because it does put the focus on the ring.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is, I was watching the Jeff Hardy versus Abyss match. Jeff Hardy's wearing a black t-shirt. Abyss is all in dark coloring. They get lost in that dark light.
Gotcha.
Like you just see heads and arms flailing around. They have the young talent there, and it seems like they're focusing more on this younger talent, which, I mean, we can be cynical and get into why they're focusing on guys that aren't as established. I actually like Kong being back in TNA. I think she has a better chance of putting on better matches.
Yes.
With the knockouts than she does with the Divas. And there's still too many turns or you know, what have you, with like Samoa Joe, Loki, Eric Young all turning heel at the beginning of the first show, and then Bobby Lashley kind of turning face by the end of the third show, and this past week, Bram turned on Magnus, and it's that stuff needs to be put to a rest for a while. But overall, I have been more pleased with what I've seen out of Impact in the last 4 weeks than I was the last probably 4 months that I watched.
Interesting. And I, like I said, I don't watch it like I should. I do catch kind of some of the highlights on their website, impactwrestling.com, but it'll be interesting to see where they end up in the next several months too, because like we said, there doesn't necessarily need to be a solid number two. Just a lot of strong promotions out there, mm-hmm. I think, is what's best for business, the wrestling business, that is, not obviously just WWE. Do you get to catch any Lucha Underground? I've seen very little of that.
I've watched a little bit of the first episode when it was posted on YouTube. I need to watch. Actually, they're doing tapings right now, and I had a friend ask me if I wanted to go to a taping. He has a friend that works on the show and could have got us in, but I wasn't available the weekend they were taping. I'm curious because I've seen the talent roster that they have. It's a lot of good talent. I unfortunately don't watch a lot of independent stuff outside of Chikara. Just time-wise, I don't have that time and being able to easily watch it.
Right.
Like we were discussing earlier. I have watched a little bit of the Raw alternatives that have been going on Monday nights that I believe it was AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling, started, or Beyond, one of the two, I believe, has started on Monday nights while Raw is on broadcasting, streaming live on YouTube for free matches from various promotions to try to get fans who may be disgruntled with what WWE is putting out there and letting them know there is more wrestling besides WWE. Mm-hmm. And especially for anybody that watches NXT, you know, this is a chance to see guys that hopefully will be there within the next 2 or 3 years. And so it's, you know, getting to know them before they hit the mainstream.
And speaking of, we'll kind of take this full circle and bring it back to WWE. We are recording this podcast, as we mentioned, on Super Bowl Sunday, so it'll drop Monday morning sometime. So you're probably listening to this before Raw. So let's speculate on Raw. The tweets have gone out. The teases on SmackDown have gone out that Triple H is going to say something that's going to shock, or I think it's rock the WWE to its core, is what they've teased this as, and there's implications that it's going to involve the Royal Rumble. And, of course, Roman Reigns...
Wait, you said it's going to rock it to its core? Does that mean Dwayne Johnson is going to bring Justin Gabriel back and they're going to form a new...
I should have known. And they're calling it the Royal Rumble controversy, and is it... We were talking about this before the show, and we actually had a pretty good conversation going, and then I'm like, we should start recording this. Is it because the internet wrestling community has responded poorly to the decision of Roman Reigns to win that it's a controversy? Where is the controversy here, do you think? Because I don't think the WWE has officially said, have they?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything. I can think of maybe the fact that, you know, Kane and Big Show came back in after their eliminations to try to beat down Roman Reigns, and then The Rock came out before the match had ended. And then you had Rusev come in and get thrown out quicker than Santino Marella in 2011 or 12, whichever year it was, which I think, I was thinking about this the other night, I think they, if Rusev and Reigns would have went on for, you know, a few minutes, kind of like what Batista and Cena did back in 2005, I think you could have maybe tried to get the crowd behind Reigns a little bit.
Right.
Or at least... Bring him up, have him look like a credible winner, but having Rusev just step in and get immediately thrown out, what was the point of even having him do that?
And that was because I remember watching and I thought, you know, because I was live tweeting too, which I want to get to a time where I just sit and enjoy the show, but I had looked down and was tweeting and then looked back up and I was like, my kids were watching with me at the time and I said, did Rusev get thrown out? And nobody knew. Mm. And I was like, okay, he's going to pop out. And I thought that he might have actually won it, which would have been a very interesting dynamic to go with. But, you know, it comes back to, are the fans dictating what the WWE does? I mean, is John Q Public, and I'm not talking about the people that are probably listening to this podcast because they are part of that internet wrestling community, but is it the working dad and his kids that go to the WWE events who cheer for Roman Reigns, you know, do they find this to be controversial? Are they happy that this is going to happen? I think sometimes we get so mad as fans that something doesn't go the way we want. And I'm not knocking anybody, but we pout and, you know, do this hashtag cancel WWE network boycott, if you will. And it really, I don't know. I mean, yes, obviously we all have a voice, but at the end of the day, it's also probably good to just kind of sit and see where this is going to go. Where are we going with this? Because we'll speculate here in a minute, but what do you, is this controversial, I guess, Chad, is what I'm getting at.
No, I don't think it's controversial. I think they're drumming up the controversy angle to try and get people to tune in. And coming, you know, off of Deflategate, where that's been all that you've heard about for the NFL leading up to the Super Bowl, WWE might be taking a cue and trying to create some type of
controversy, manufactured
controversy to boost interest in the product.
Sure, that makes sense. I can see that. What do you think Triple H's announcement is going to be? That I've read all sorts of speculation, everything varying from a battle royal for the Fastlane pay-per-view later this month, with the winner then going to WrestleMania, to them doing a fan's choice and making the main event of WrestleMania a three-way event, where it's the Royal Rumble winner, the champion, and then whomever the fans choose to put in there. So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's going to be a match at Fastlane involving Roman Reigns and someone else, kind of with Roman's WrestleMania title shot on the line in some fashion. I don't think Daniel Bryan will be involved in the match at all.
Mm-hmm.
Unless WWE just seriously wants to alienate their fan. I don't even know if alienate is the right word, but...
Enrage.
Enrage their fan. Yeah, unless they want to enrage even more by having them tease potentially Bryan getting back into Mania and then cutting him out again. I don't really know. Again, because this isn't controversy to me, I don't know. It's not like the Final Four from 96 when Stone Cold was eliminated by Bret Hart.
97.
And then Stone Cold snuck back in behind the referee's back and eliminated three other people.
Yeah.
And so you had that controversy, and it made sense to have the Final Four pay-per-view winner, thus winning the title after Shawn Michaels vacated it. So I don't know where they're going to go with this, but you got to do something to sell Fastlane. I've always said that having the Royal Rumble winner getting a shot at WrestleMania and then having a pay-per-view in between Rumble and Mania is kind of counterproductive, because you really don't, there's no interest in the title match, because you know they're going to spend all their money or all their time promoting that WrestleMania main event,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to change it just
right
4 or 5 weeks out most of the time.
What do you think of the fact that, because years ago it was called No Way Out,
mm-hmm.
and then it evolved into the Elimination mm-hmm. Chamber, which is a gimmicked pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now it's just called Fastlane, and I don't know. Have we seen the last of the Elimination Chamber? I guess as a titled pay-per-view, yes, but maybe not as a match concept.
Well, I mean, from the interview I read with Stephanie McMahon, she was saying that the stadiums or the arenas are putting in, a lot of them are putting in new scoreboards, that the dynamic of building the cage and holding it above the ring throughout the entire show is becoming more and more difficult.
Oh, I see.
And that's part of the reason for eliminating. And that could just be an excuse reason, but I'm not a fan of themed pay-per-views.
Right.
Because
I think
it devalues the match when you just have it out of, because the calendar says, oh, next month is Hell in a Cell, we got to have a Hell in a Cell match, but we haven't built up a feud
right.
that dictates it. And TNA, if anyone is listening, I know you have Lockdown on Friday, which you've already taped, but get rid of an all pay-per-view show, or all cage pay-per-view show, whatever you're doing these days, get rid of it. I do like the name Fastlane, because it fits more in with this first 4 months of the year being the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what is going to be on the show. I think it's really interesting that they are having John Cena versus Rusev.
That was going to be the next thing I was going to bring up. Why? Because, and again, I try not to put much credence in what you read online, but there was a lot of buzz that was going to be the Mania match, mm-hmm. was going to be Cena versus Rusev. I can't imagine Cena winning the U.S. title, so I'm imagining this is going to be a non-title match. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Rusev go over at Fastlane, and then it builds up to something for Mania.
Yeah, and I've read, and again, internet rumor, speculation, that they will fight at Mania as well. So it could be Rusev wins here, Cena gets his victory back at Mania, or Cena wins here, Rusev then gets the victory on the bigger show, thus making it okay that Cena's the one to end the streak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Which I don't know. I am of the firm opinion that WrestleMania should be something special and not just a rematch show, because then you have Extreme Rules or Backlash or whatever it is these days, and that will be your all Mania
right
rematches. Yeah, it's, I guess, also now that they've come out and announced that February is Free Network Month in an attempt to boost subscribers because the pay-per-view is kind of a lame duck pay-per-view. Your Rusev, John Cena match is something that you can actually build that people might hopefully want to see because it is a big match. The fact that Cena is or Rusev is undefeated in singles competition and Cena is your biggest star.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's still, in my opinion at least, way too early to speculate on all of the rest of WrestleMania. There's a lot of players out there that don't or haven't fallen into place yet, but I think that within the coming weeks that will all obviously work itself out. One thing that I heard on JR's podcast, The Ross Report, he was talking about, which makes sense, and I could see them maybe trying it, but maybe not, since it was on JR's podcast and he was talking about it, is turning Roman Reigns before WrestleMania and have him going into Mania as the heel with Paul Heyman as his manager or advisor or advocate, and Lesnar then, which I think Lesnar, I don't think it's really accurate to call Lesnar a heel anyway at this point, but yeah. Especially after his performance at the Royal Rumble, but Lesnar would then obviously go in as the Uber over babyface.
My biggest fear since the end of the Royal Rumble has been if Brock Lesnar's contract is up at Mania,
mm-hmm.
and he goes back to UFC as is being speculated,
yes,
that we're going to get a repeat of Survivor Series 99, yes, where Heyman goes in managing Brock, turns on him mid-match, Roman wins the title, and Roman walks out with Paul Heyman. And given Roman
Reigns' promo... I don't think that was Survivor Series 99, but it was with the Big Show, right?
Yeah, 99, 2000, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years. Or 3, but yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right, because Brock came in after the 2000s. You're right. But I mean, given Roman Reigns' promo ability, apparently, putting him with Heyman could be a chance to salvage the character.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the way Roman Reigns got over was being this strong, the muscle of the Shield.
Right.
He was the quiet one. He just came in, hit his four moves of doom, and then got out of there, which in a six-man tag match works fine. In
right.
a regular one-on-one match does not work for Roman Reigns. And, yeah, I think you could do it that way. I hope they don't go that route.
You mean the switch during the event itself?
The switch.
Or the switch in general.
The switch in general.
Well, and I think, though, that, I mean, you bring up a good point about this potentially being Lesnar's last stand with WWE, yeah. at least this time around. And, you know, the other fear I think the company may legitimately have is if he is leaving... and he's in there with Roman Reigns, what if this turns into a WrestleMania 20 moment where it's Goldberg versus Lesnar, and the arena, Madison Square Garden, literally turned on both of those guys,
yeah.
and the only thing that saved it was Steve Austin was your guest referee who stunned them both and then drank beer afterward,
yeah.
and you know, I think there's probably a legitimate concern about that happening as well if they don't do something and Brock is leaving.
And this is my alternate take on the canceled WWE Network boycott or whatever,
uh-huh.
is if fans are so upset about Roman Reigns winning Rumble, being the potentially becoming the champion, either don't go to WrestleMania, or when that main event starts, get up and walk out. Because I think that would have a bigger effect on McMahon's psyche.
Mm-hmm.
than a bunch of people tweeting a hashtag.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people have paid a lot of money to go to WrestleMania, so you probably don't want to just kind of toss that money away. But at the same time, if you are that upset about it and you want to show that frustration, or if you want to stay there, get up and turn your back to the match.
Yeah.
Do something... that is,
actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
And hashtags.
Yes.
Well, the other interesting dynamic here is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Money in the Bank contract expire after a year?
Like, yeah, so they've got he's got till July. Seth Rollins has till July.
Till July, okay. So there's still time. Still about 6 months or about 5 months to go,
but
I guess.
Given that Seth is the future of the company and tight with the authority, I'm sure they can amend that contract should they want to.
Yeah, I've been curious to kind of see where they were going with that. I had speculated earlier on the show that Seth Rollins would win the title at Royal Rumble, leading us into WrestleMania with at least Reigns versus Rollins, and perhaps throwing Dean Ambrose in there too, because I kind of feel like lately Dean Ambrose has kind of been lost in the shuffle after his little feud with Bray Wyatt.
Well, and that feud with Bray Wyatt really didn't do much for either person. It was just kind of a there. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to have the same match every time they fought.
Yeah.
Which was about as many times as the Usos have fought Miz Dow. It's just... And again, we could speculate and we can fantasy book all we want, but I think there would have been more money or more interest in a Shield triple threat match than there is from a Roman Reigns title match.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement to make. And you talked about Mizdow and the Usos, and there's obviously hints of splitting up Miz and Mizdow. Mm-hmm. There's hints of splitting up Gold and Stardust, mm-hmm. which obviously at this juncture, you know, there's not a whole lot of other tag teams for that division, so splitting up potentially two other ones it is not a good thing for fans of tag team wrestling.
But we have the Ascension. That's all we need in tag team wrestling now.
It's the Ascension, the Usos, Masters of the Universe, which is Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, mm-hmm. Which I, by the way, like as a tag team. I think that they've kind of come along over the last couple of weeks.
Los Matadors?
Yeah, but there's... you know, that's when you end up getting the same rematch
over
week
over.
After week after week on SmackDown, on Raw, and on main events. So, what do you think they need to do in terms of tag team wrestling? Is tag team wrestling just a secondary thought at this point?
When you have a new tag team that was the longest reigning tag team champions in your developmental league come up, you slightly alter the gimmick to make them a ripoff of more popular tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have four tag teams where the average age of the competitors is 59 years old. Destroy said tag team on your flagship show and then try to sell that tag team a week later as a credible threat. I think you have a problem booking tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the writing structure is set up within WWE, but I think they need different departments writing for different guys. Like your heavyweight title people should have control of one thing. There should be writers just for the tag team division. And the tag team division is sort of like the Divas division, where getting a feud between two teams that doesn't involve the title is kind of rare.
Right. It's a long stretch from the 80s when we had, you know, the Islanders and the Killer Bees and the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation. I mean, you would do Survivor Series those first couple years and have those 10-team elimination matches, and they weren't makeshift teams. They weren't guys that were brought in from another territory just for that one night. They were actually all teams that were on the roster.
But
so.
I mean, and then this just came to me. You look at it, going back to that Raw where the Ascension was humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
The four teams, I believe it was four teams. It was New Age Outlaws, the NWO, APA. Was there a fourth? Or was it just those three?
I think it was just those three.
Okay, so those three teams were all makeshift teams.
Yes.
That became a cohesive unit. So there is something to be said for putting two guys together. It can work, but you have to give them more than 3 months or 4 months together. But I still remember that. Do you remember that Raw when Rockabilly and the roadie got together, and then the Killer Bees came out and made fun of them and attacked them, and then the Islanders came out and attacked Rockabilly and...
No, did that really happen?
No, you know why? Because they built up that team to be a credible threat.
Oh, I get where you're... Whoa, a little slow here. I was like, what? Did this really happen? So, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And we've talked about that before with other performers. Like, you know, you didn't have guys from the 80s coming in during the Attitude Era and humiliating The Rock or Steve Austin or Triple H or The Undertaker, for that matter. But... You know, in today's society, we're seeing a lot of these old-timers coming in and kind of having their way with the younger, up-and-coming talent.
Yeah, the older, if you're going to use the older guys, they should be coming in and kind of endorsing this young talent, which, I mean, The Rock tried to do with Roman Reigns, didn't work so well. and this is totally off-tangent,
sure,
or on tangent, but it astonishes me how... The mindset of these companies is to think that belittling your new talent, the guys that are going to be there next week, the guys that should be your stars over the next couple weeks or years, to make them look like fools is the way to go. And, you know, you can go back to 96 when Rocky Maivia debuted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was not... The Rock in any stretch of the, you know, imagination. It would have been very easy to have, if, you know, Hulk Hogan would have been available at the time, to have Rock Hogan come in and make fun of him and say, like, I wrestled, you know, your dad and your grandfather and you're nothing like them. You kind of like they've done with Curtis Axel and right. Talking about how he is not perfect. I don't know if their current roster has anybody that will be the next Rock or Stone Cold. But the way that business is going now, we will never get that chance to find out.
Wow, that is something to ponder. That's a very good point, and I'm just kind of racing through my head right now, and you're
because,
right.
I mean everything is so scripted. Yes. Everything is so planned out. The Rock got over by being himself. Mm-hmm. Austin got over by an off-the-cuff remark that no one could have
scripted. Yes.
But that's what launched the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
And these writers, having Roman Reigns come out and saying suffer and succotash is not going to make people behind him.
Yeah. And I think that's been an argument for quite some time, is to stop scripting the promos and let these guys go out and be themselves and, you know, amp it up a little bit. And
it's amazing to me that we're not talking about a company that has just started.
Right.
We're talking about a company that has been around for 30 years. Vince has been around the company or the business the majority of his life. Stephanie has been around. Triple H is a student of the game. You would think that they would understand, especially with all the legends that they have come in and even, you know, I believe Stone Cold has even mentioned it on his podcast at times. It's amazing that they don't see what worked and try to, you know, reuse that information. Yeah. It's like they're so stubborn in their way of this is what the company has to be. And does it have to do with being a publicly funded company now? Does it have to do with networks? Does it?
I don't know. I mean, things have changed in some regards, but you would think that you could go back to those kind of basics. But then, again, it also comes down to you're hiring soap opera writers and people within the entertainment world and not so much in the wrestling world. And I do know that there are some of the, you know, IRS and Dusty Rhodes and Arn Anderson are still backstage, but how much influence are they having on the day-to-day operations as well is I guess.
Yeah. And there's a difference between scripting a match and scripting a promo.
Sure. It's a lot of scripting obviously going on, but we're getting close to the end here. Is there anything else on your mind that you wanted to kind of get out there before we wrap up this episode 10?
I think I'm good. I mean, I can go off. We did the podcast, you know, about the Royal Rumble, and we tried to stay positive.
Sure.
Which then I found funny that the comments we got on it was, why are you guys being so nice when I have been known to be very critical. And I will just say that for the record, I didn't watch, but when I watched the Royal Rumble live, I was on the phone for the last half, didn't really pay that much attention to it. After we recorded the podcast, I went back and watched the Rumble match again.
Mm-hmm.
Had I focused and actually thought about what I wanted to say before we did the podcast, I would have been a lot more critical, because I do think this year's Rumble was a poorly planned match. There was no storytelling. There was no... And maybe this is just me and what I want, getting my hopes up for what I wanted to see as opposed to what I got. The fact that Miz and Mizdow were not in the match at the same time, when you have a guy whose whole gimmick is mimicking a guy,
yeah,
it just writes itself that Miz gets eliminated and Mizdow eliminates himself.
Yeah.
Like, you go for that. I mean, the crowd, I think, would have went crazy for it. There was just so much, and there were so many jobbers, and no offense to, you know, the wrestlers, and that, I want to make that clarification clear. When I am critical of the product, it's not the wrestlers themselves.
Right.
With the exception of Randy Orton and now Roman Reigns. But it's just the presentation, the storytelling, the that aspect of the company. But there were just so... If you broke down the list of guys in that Rumble match, there were maybe 4 to 5 that had a legitimate shot of winning and going on to WrestleMania.
Right, I agree.
And then it was just poorly planned. There was no long-term storytelling. You know, if you watch a good Rumble match, it has a lot of layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
This year we got Bray Wyatt eliminating everybody. And I'll make the analogy just came to me with Daniel Bryan. Go back to 2008. Was that one that led into WrestleMania 26?
No. 2008 was going into WrestleMania 24.
24. Okay, 2010 then.
Okay.
So when Shawn Michaels came out and Undertaker was the champion and he wanted the rematch with Undertaker, and he's like, I have to win the Royal Rumble to get this shot.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing essentially the same story with Daniel Bryan, where he's like, I want that main event at WrestleMania. I have to win the Royal Rumble. Watch the story being told with Shawn Michaels in that match and his elimination, and then compare that with Daniel Bryan this year, where it was just like, oh, Bryan's out. Okay, let's move on to what's going on. There's no emotion in this match.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see over the next 6 weeks or so where the road to WrestleMania takes us. Of course, Fastlane, the next big event. But I think we're going to wrap things up for now.
Well, and I'll just throw out, next Saturday, February 8th, is National Pro Wrestling Day.
Yes.
I don't really know. I think the first year they had it, it was a lot of promotions coming together. Now it's, last year it was mainly a Chikara driven vehicle to bring up the relaunch of Chikara. This year I'm not really sure what they're doing, but you can go to probably npwd.com or Chikara.com, ChikaraPro.com, or SmartMarkVideo.com and find out more information. I don't know if they're streaming live or if it's just a free event for fans in the Philadelphia area. And then they'll put it out on DVD later. But check it out. You support independent wrestling.
Absolutely. And we'll have it on my123cents.com, on Facebook and Twitter as well, at my123cents, at Chad Smart, at Kevin Huntsberger, all on Twitter. We appreciate your support. Thanks for listening. And, of course, at Jittery Monkey, monkey spelled with a U, though, because someone else has the real monkey spelling there. So check out all the podcasts here. And thanks again for downloading and listening to My 123 Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Hey, Toby.
Hey, Greg.
So we've been doing this podcast network thing for a long time.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And we're finally starting now to get a little traction under us.
Yeah, a lot of people are jumping on board to have some shows.
Big shout out to some of our shows here. My 123 Cents, a wrestling podcast based off of a blog site by the same name. Kevin Huntsberger is running that one. And you and Craig are back with a sports podcast off of another blog that you started years back.
Yeah, Seat Above the Stands. And if you're into anything local, high school related sports, we do that. National related stuff, we do that. And arguing, We really do that. So yeah, tune in.
Matt Horst has a gamer, and he's been updating that as his time allows. And he and his wife, Sierra and Zach, also have Popped Culture, and where they talk about books, and they talk about movies and action figures and all kinds of good stuff.
Absolutely. A lot of different areas covered. We can always have more, though.
And Nerd United.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I've been so grateful for everybody who's decided to join me on episodes of that show, and we're looking to keep going strong, and we're gonna have a busy 2015. We hope that everybody tunes in and takes the Jittery Monkey podcast along for the ride on iTunes, on Stitcher. You just gotta do a little search,
and it's simple. You subscribe to the network and you get every show, so you can listen to the ones you want and don't have to listen to the ones you're not interested in. And be sure to rate them, please, because when you rate them and leave a comment, it really does help. So do that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave your feedback. Make sure that you follow Jittery Monkey Podcast on Facebook, as well as Jittery Monkey on Twitter. Now, that's monkey with a U, because the other Jittery Monkey was taken and the other guy didn't want to free it up.
Nah.
So, yeah, but we're busy, we're active, and we appreciate everybody who's joined us along this far.